Absolutely. Let me give you some numbers on that. It's just a hypothetical, but actually real. Imagine a position, any position, where the salary is 50K. Mm-hmm. If this position is open for 30 days, at least, you already, the company already spent $17,000. How is that? So how the calculation happens, right? So we talk about, first of all, if the position is open and let's say it's not addition to staff, it is you lose an employee. So you're losing money right off the bat because somebody is doing that job. So unfortunately or fortunately, we don't have machines that replace the human being. So somebody else is working overtime in order to get that done. So the job done. So it starts there. Then you have the cost for advertising. You have costs for the recruiting interviews. Needs to be done. Assessment needs to be done. And then you hire that person. So very unlikely this person will come in less than 30 days because the process doesn't work that fast.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Ready!
Have you encountered language barriers with non-English speaking clients? Are language communication challenges hindering your business opportunities? For top-notch language services, choose a foreign language service. They facilitate communications in over 400 languages, enhancing your offerings and driving success. As Arizona's premier language provider for over 30 years, they offer elite interpreting and translation services, including American Sign Language, nationwide. With a focus on excellence, they provide 24/7 telephonic and video interpreting with a live interpreter in under 60 seconds. Request telephonic, video, or in-person interpreting. They also offer translation for documents, courseware, software, and websites, as well as audio transcription and voiceovers. Trust in their expertise for effective language communication solutions for your business needs. Get in touch today at 844-813-4242 or explore their services at 400-400-languages.com.
Hello, Sylvia Hernandez with Lean HR Partners. Welcome to the Business Superfan Show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Freddie.
I'm excited to have you as a guest. So tell us a little bit about your story and how you got to starting Lean HR Partners that you're really doing. So let's go into that whole story.
Okay. So a little bit about me. So I'm a human resources professional, 25 plus years in there, not to tell my age, but 25 something years. I'm originally from Brazil. So my first degree is in psychology. So I had an opportunity to get acquainted with industrial relations, as we call at that time, not only human resources, but, and then I got a passion for that. So I knew in graduation that I didn't want to do clinic or hospital work or anything like that. So the passion for HR came right there. So I did my residency, as I say, in HR, and then everything started from there. So after graduating, I had a passion also for the English language. As you can see, I have an accent here. So I wanted to learn English properly. So I moved to England and spent 2 years there trying to get the language under the belt, came back to Brazil and then really started a career there in HR. So since then, it's always Fortune 500 organizations. I worked for two chemicals, food companies, government, automotive, and also two aerospace companies. So moved to the U.S. 2 years ago, continue my career here. Mm-hmm. And then lucky me, I reached the top. I mean, the goal was to be the chief human resources officer for organization. I had that title twice in my career, but then got to a point that I, I said, you know what? I'm going to be on my own. I know enough now that I can advise others and make an impact to small organizations. So I came from big organizations where it's a little bit more challenging to make an impact because there's so many people, so much money involved that right. The creativity gets a little non-existent sometimes. So helping small businesses make me creative in actually exercise my expertise to help the business. So that's how Lean Human Resources Partners was created. It is really the passion for HR specifically and help these small ones to grow and hit the strategy and then be successful. That's how it was born.
Okay, excellent. Because a lot of small businesses don't realize how important HR is to the business. And you see a lot of companies where they bypass having an HR person because there may be a 6-person company and they don't think it's important. But the reality is it's very important because they may be in violations of some local laws and governmental laws that they don't even know about. And you have a disgruntled employee that knows about some of those regulations and laws. And now you have a problem on your hands.
Absolutely. I want to divide HR in 2 big blocks. One of them, as you said, has to do with compliance. And compliance mm-hmm. is the boring, dry aspect of HR, which is absolutely necessary. So you cannot go further having employees at your organization without talking about compliance. I want to say compliance/legal. At some point, I think it's still today, HR is very linked to the legal matters
Correct.
Of employment law. Yep. But the other fun part, it is really the people, right? We used to say that HR is the department of the people. I continue to say that it is, but there is the boring part as well. So that's why there are two portions that we're talking about really impacts the bottom line of the organization if it's not looked properly. Compliance is specifically, a lawsuit, for example, can cost you millions of dollars, but also employee retention.
Let's really dive into employee retention because I don't think a lot of small businesses realize the cost that it really is costing them for having continual employee turnover.
Absolutely. Let me give you some numbers on that. It's just a hypothetical, but actually real. Imagine a position, any position, where the salary is $50,000. Mm-hmm. If this position is open for 30 days at least, the company already spent $17,000. How is that? So how the calculation happens, right? So we talk about, first of all, if the position is open and let's say it's not addition to staff, it is you lose an employee. So you're losing money right off the bat because somebody is doing that job. So unfortunately or fortunately, we don't have machines that replace the human being. So somebody else is working overtime in order to get that done. So the job done. So it starts there. Then you have the cost for advertising. You have costs for the recruiting interviews needs to be done. Assessment needs to be done. And then you hire that person. So very unlikely this person will come in less than 30 days because the process doesn't work that fast.
Right.
And this is internal processes, right? So you are spending money right there too. So between advertisement and recruiting and the person comes, there is onboarding. So this person is not going to produce results at Correct. Least in 90 days because there is training. Well, right. not only there is software that trains the person, but also you need to take the person around, take some time from the hiring manager calendar, and then anybody else that is training this person. This is hourly rate for that particular salary. So imagine that a manager earns $100,000 and trains the person for 2 days full. Well, you have to counter that too.
Sure.
And it is exponential, right?
Yeah.
So by the time you put all those costs, the hypothesis is true, is $17,000 for a $50,000 salary. Now,
that's just to get started. Then you've got to calculate in the lack of productivity from those people that are doing the training, because they can't be doing their job necessarily. So because they've got to spend time training somebody new, or they're doing their job, but they're not fully on their job. So you got someone else that's helping with that person's job while the training is, and it starts to snowball into a quite expensive aspect of it. And then if that person leaves, you got to start all over again. And more importantly, that just starts creating a negative culture in the company, and you're not going to create super fans of those employees having to do this on a continual basis.
Exactly right. And also impacts the delivery. Imagine that this person that is covering for the employee that left is not really the forte of that person. So not only impacts the results of how you are delivering that particular job, but also is costing you money, and over time gets the person exhausted and, to your words, not a super fan.
Yeah.
Not a super fan.
They start resenting the company because, more importantly, when you see repeated turnover in an organization, it demoralizes the team, because then they start realizing that management is really a problem and doesn't understand it, what's going on.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden you have not a positive, energized workforce. You have a workforce that's there just because they need the paycheck, and they're not, and that's it. They're just there to collect the paycheck. And now their mindset, I'm just going to do what I need to do so that I don't get fired.
Yep.
And that's it. And unfortunately, now you've got productivity that takes a hit as well.
Yeah. I want to say that I think one of the biggest discovery in my entire career in HR has to do with one word. And this word is motivation. In studying human being behavior, and I love that portion of my career, it is, for me, it comes down to really what motivates an individual. Of course, we are talking about a bunch of people in an organization, so you cannot motivate everybody to the full extent. Happy campers is what you have, but full happiness does not exist. So once you touch the motivation of a person to stay or to go, you're good to go. Because imagine that you do an engagement survey and then you meet the person on the motivation or things that are important for them, at least midway. I gathered already that this is one of the most powerful tools to retaining, because many things are important to people, but not to others. But when they understand that I can meet you halfway, it is really a good retention way to keep people doing what they're doing in an organization.
Oh, absolutely. One of my quotes in my book is, people will crawl through broken glass for appreciation and recognition.
That's true. I agree. That's true.
And so you talk about motivation, and that's where simply giving, acknowledging somebody and recognizing their extra effort on something, that creates that motivation. And when you recognize somebody, one of the things I talk about is, when you recognize an individual one-on-one, if I turn around and says, hey, Sylvia, thanks a lot for this particular project, I really appreciate your extra effort, well, you feel good. But now if I turn around and says, hey, everybody, I want to take a moment to recognize Sylvia because she killed it on this particular project, and because of her efforts, we succeeded in this particular thing. Now I've got the whole team feeling energized, and you feel like a rock star.
Right. But one comment in the motivation, Freddie, is motivation is not the same for everybody. Many people are motivated by money. Many people are not. Many people are motivated by, thank you for your awesome work on this project. Some people are so shy that they don't want to hear about it. So there are different ways to motivate people, right? Mm-hmm. So, and my thing is, let's discover what is important for each one of them. That's why we get into the more tailored things. It gets tricky to motivate everybody on what they have specifically, but at least you hear them, because the motivation is different for everybody.
I totally agree.
Give
totally
me
agree.
A day off and I will be very happy. Well, right. Give a gift card to Walmart to other person, and they will be very happy, but not with the day off. So right. We need to see what really ticks people.
That's a really good point, because that's something I do talk about in my book, is that you have to be able to accommodate people in, like you just said, what motivates them. So some people may say, okay, I'll take less of a salary, but because I want to go to school and continue my education.
Correct.
And so I want to have some time off. And so I don't want to work so many hours. I want to go to school. Someone else might say, okay, I need to go home because my kids come from school and I don't want to have them by themselves and doing et cetera. So businesses that can accommodate and create flex work schedules for their employees or whatever it is, as you're saying, the motivation for people is very different. If they can be flexible in their business model, now they're going to start creating super fans of their employees, because they're going to say, man, this is a great company. They care about me. They allow me to be able to do some things. And that's going to come across when they're talking with their customers. That energy is going to come across. Same thing with complementary business partners they're going to be talking about with that. Is they're going to have, you can tell in their tonality of the conversations that they have that they enjoy their work and the company that they're working for.
Absolutely, Freddie. Absolutely. I want to say this. If an organization can tailor what is important for the individuals, you absolutely have super fans. This is proven for me in engagement surveys that I did in organizations that I worked for. It doesn't fail.
Yep.
But I think what it fails and continue failing, it is organizations trying to do one thing fits all. Let's give gift cards to everybody, or let's give a day vacation to everybody, or let's do a Christmas party and everybody can participate and bring their families.
Yeah, but what happens if somebody isn't Christian and someone is Jewish, or somebody is Muslim, and you're throwing the Christmas party, but now the other people feel slated because, well, you didn't recognize Ramadan. So that blows up.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So I can say that requires a little bit more time for the organization, for the leadership team to really try to accommodate not every single person, but at least the majority meet where the need is. Exactly where the need is. I need to leave every Wednesday at 2:00 because my kid is in a competition of the baseball game. And I need to be there. I want to be there. That accommodation, it's absolutely key. You never lose an employee like that. I'll never say never. But it's more difficult to lose an employee when you accommodate what is important for them.
Oh, sure. Because now that parent, okay, is at their kid's baseball game, as you say. And all the other parents, because usually it'll be, maybe there'll be one parent, and now you've got mom and dad there because mom was staying home or whatever the case may be, or she's working but she works a different shift. But then the fact that dad is there, and let's say it's a boy playing baseball or a girl playing softball, doesn't matter. The bottom line is all the other parents are going to go, wow, and then that person turns around and says, oh yeah, the company I've got is great. And again, they're being the super fan, promoting that company. And that's you can't buy that. And that's
you cannot buy that.
Goodwill,
you're right.
It's a super fan on steroids in a sense. That's why I call them brand advocates. Most people call them brand advocates. I call them business super fans, which I think is brand advocates on steroids. And that is profound.
It is. I cannot stress enough how that is true. And actually, I consult with small businesses in HR today. And this is my biggest advice to them on the retention. Let's see what is important for the organization and work from there. And it's been reshaping actually how leaders are thinking, because it's still, Freddie, I've been in HR for so long and leading with leaders all my career here. I still think HR is failing in influencing the leaders on how to treat employees.
I totally agree.
It is more, I think the compliance aspect of things, the dry aspect of things is taking more time, more worry than to keep the employees. But when I show them the bottom line of one position open for 30 days and not putting emphasis on retention, I kind of get their attention because it's the bottom line, right? Sure. It's 17K for a 50K salary. And they said, what? Really? Yeah, you already spent that money. It's passive. And you don't know this number because it's really passive. So you need to really open your eyes, make calculations, and see what's going on there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100% agree. And that comes into play where some HR, I won't say HR people, but I'll say that some organizations have sterile environment where it's just strictly business. It's not really, I've worked with companies where the HR department was part of the company and was helping create an environment. And then I've been in organizations where HR is just, this is it. And that's how it stays.
It's compliance. When you say like this and no, it stays, it's compliance. Because right. Compliance does not change much. So you follow the rule, you follow the law to be at less risk per se, right?
Right.
When you deal with people, it's so dynamic because people are different all the way, right? So you want to apply the same treatment to everybody, but at the same time, you're not doing that because people require different stuff.
Right.
So it's not
that's where I've been, where the HR department was basically all about compliance and not about anything else.
Yeah, that's the bad saying that we get because it's all about papers, all about legal, it's all about compliance. That's why I kind of split into two buckets. One thing is compliance, it's boring. The other thing is really dealing with the people and how they hit the bottom line, or to the good and to the bad. I mean, turnover is a bad one. But if a person stays, is the tenure, and it's the company philosophy to provide a tenure and collect the results. I mean, it's money, it's revenue. It's people happy. They are advocates. They are super fans. The sales is going to bloom.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all good impact.
Right. So something that a business should be looking for is if they're outsourcing an agency, they want to make sure that the agency, like yourself, looks at it from, okay, because I really like the two bucket idea is, okay, we got compliance. We get that stuff out of the way. Now we focus on all the other aspects that creates the environment within the company, creates the motivation, and evolves into a culture where you've got people that stay in companies 5, 10, 15 years because they love where they're working, and they're all their family and friends know about the company because they're promoting it as super fans.
Correct. Well, one note to the 15, 20 years in the company, we know that it's very rare that it happens nowadays because the environment changed, the world changed. There's so many components that makes the generation, right, is different, that impacts a person to stay or to go. We don't see more, I want to say 10, 15 years in the companies anymore, at least for now, where we live today. But still, if you can keep somebody for a number of years, that it's important for the organization for you to deliver results, not only for the organization, but for the individual as well. I'm growing mm-hmm. my career. I'm learning something. I'm contributing to things. It is already a win situation.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Very good point. Yeah, because we're in a more dynamic world. I still kind of think, because I still know some people that have worked at their companies for 10, 15 years.
Oh, me too.
And they're still working.
No,
but
absolutely.
You're right. That's more the exception.
Yeah, more the exception.
You're right. That's more the exception than the reality.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean that we cannot go back to that model. Again, because there's so many components, things are changing so fast and people mm-hmm. react in a different manner, right? So things that were not important in the past, it can be today. You may have, for example, the millennial generation that nowadays is called, I want to make an impact, but it is not for everybody. Some people want to stay in a place and grow their career, or not, or just deliver a good job, but stay where they are at. And we need people like that. We need, going back to the example, right? So we need people in an assembly line. Sometimes you want people to grow. Well, they don't want to grow. Right. They're happy there. So we need to respect that as well, right? So promoting is not for everybody. So they are happy where they're at, which is good. And then we need all those professionals.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Very important statement there, because sometimes we promote people and now they're into that position and they're not happy in that position because they're not comfortable in that position. And now their productivity goes down and et cetera. And they end up quitting because they're completely unhappy. And the results are what we just been talking about. Now you got to start that whole process all over again. And had that person just respected their mindset that they were happy where they're at, you could have found somebody else to fill that position.
Yeah.
And you would have not lost the productivity and the money and everything else.
Yeah. I'll go beyond, Freddie, on that one. I think promoting the wrong person or the unprepared person, it is the worst that can happen to turnover. And why? Because we know that more than 80% of turnover happens because of people, because of behavior, and not because of performance. This is out there. There are several studies on this thing. So if the supervisor is not prepared to deal with the people, they quit and your turnover starts there. But how did it start? Because you put in a supervisory role a person that perhaps doesn't want the money, but doesn't want the job per se, the work, or is not prepared. And that happens all the time, all the day.
Yeah, they're not giving management training. They're not given training to how to deal with people. It's like, okay, we put you into this position, go to work. And you're like, what do I do? And then the first situation that comes up is usually handled incorrectly because they don't know how to handle it. And so now you've got a double whammy because that employee that came up to the new supervisor for assistance is unhappy.
Yeah.
The supervisor's unhappy because he knows or she knows that they didn't handle it appropriately. And it just now you've just created a whole negative situation.
Oh, yeah, it snowballs. Absolutely. So that supervisor is not happy. The manager is also not happy because productivity is falling because he doesn't know what to do. Impacts the morale because the person doesn't know how to deal with the people. So, and then you have some people unhappy, so they may leave. Imagine that if 3-4 people leave in the department because of this.
Well, I've seen it happen.
Me too. I mean, and it happens.
And it has a profound negative impact on the business.
Absolutely.
Customers start realizing something's not right. They start to, even though there's no word that may go out, but they recognize that something's not right. Something's happening. They don't get the responses back because the people aren't there to respond. So it starts to create a bigger snowball problem. If it's not rectified very quickly, you start losing customers.
Absolutely. It snowballs very fast. But, you know, I think nowadays there are tools that we can apply to those things. And then I'm a little biased to say about behavior because I believe so much in behavior. Understand how the person really operates in a work scenario and then try to fit that personality to the job at hand. And then when you find that match, the possibility of success grows tremendously.
Sure.
But some people are not applying those tools. And then I would go to call for apply those because the results are tremendous, or at least the possibility of success is greater than not doing anything and just promoting, because it comes down to behavior.
Right.
It really comes down to behavior. You are for this position, or you tend to be successful in this position or not. So there are ways that we can evaluate this before promoting.
So, Sylvia, how can somebody find you to get some advice with their HR or look at even bringing your services on to their company?
My website is in there. So it's leanhrpartners.net, not .com. So I am located in Scottsdale. So I also on LinkedIn. Sylvia Hernandez LinkedIn in there. Can find me and my company there.
Okay. And if someone was to reach out, what would be, do you have a free assessment or do you kind of take a look at stuff?
Yeah. Reaching out, I can, for example, give a free assessment on the personality on the individual level. If it's for organizations, we can do also for the entire organization, see what fits what. Of course, it's not personality alone. It is an exercise that we compare how the person operates with the job that the person has or will have, and then advise if it's a good match or not a good match.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. We probably should have you on another show to talk more about personality types and how that comes into a play with the work environment and the culture of a company.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to.
All right, Sylvia, thank you very much for being on the Business Superfan podcast. You've been the guest, and we look forward to continuing the conversation another day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Freddie. It's been my pleasure. Thank you. I'll see you in another time.
Thanks for tuning in to today's Business Superfans podcast. If you found value in our dive into creating superfans for lasting success, show some love, hit like and subscribe for future episodes, and share with your network to spread the insights. We'd appreciate if you would write us a review as it helps our show. Your support is everything and fuels more content to boost your business. Till next time, keep rocking, superfans, superstars.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to BusinessSuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the Accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.